We have a lot of new faces and ears listening to All Action Sports Radio each and every week, and we want to give a big shout out to KUFO 970 AM in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for being a part of our show each and every week. And we're going to step into our motocross segment, one of the segments that I love here at All Action Sports Radio, with Jason Weingand, the Racer X online editor, who also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GENCC series, the largest and one of the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. Jason, welcome back to All Action Sports Radio.
We're pumped, man. We're going to Daytona.
Daytona, baby. Indy, Daytona. This is the best part of Supercross. All right, Weech, he moved into second place in the standings, 23 points behind the three-time defending series champion, Ryan Villopoto. Who saw Dungy coming? I mean, he wasn't our pick for the win in Indy.
Nah, that's just Dungy being Dungy, though. Like, he's always going to be there, and then if anyone screws up at all, since he's always there, he's got a good opportunity to take advantage. And now we have a strange situation where Villopoto has a very, very large points lead, but the three riders behind him, now Dungy, Roczen, and Stewart, can each point to a race where they had bad luck, bike broke, and during a crash or whatever, they didn't finish. Villopoto hasn't had one of those races. So I bet you all three of them would say, well, Villopoto will just have one of his own, and we'll be right back there with him.
Speaking of tracks, this is something that was kind of freaking me out. That track got really torn up super early in Indy. How can a track be that bad in a race this big with such a huge audience, TV, riders, everybody behind it? I mean, people almost got killed out there.
I wouldn't say they almost got killed, but there were a whole lot of crashes. But luckily, when the track's that torn up, they're going slower because the track's so difficult, so the crashes aren't as hard. It's all about the scheduling of the stadium. The world doesn't revolve around Supercross as much as we might like it to be. So the NFL Combine can actually be blamed.
Ooh.
Because they finished that thing up on Tuesday, which gave them only, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to build the track. And in that area of the country, this time of year, obviously, it's winter, the dirt's cold and frozen. Within 3 days, it's not going to thaw out. So it was actually frozen water, mud, dirt, still thawing on Saturday. And that's why the track was as bad as it was. It really wasn't anything they could do. The NFL calls the shots, bro.
Yes, they do. But listen, I would beg to differ. KTM's Ivan Tedesco would challenge you on almost getting eaten by a bike with his legs trapped in there.
I've seen guys get pulled into the bike like that, but I've never seen both legs. And as they like to say in racing, he walked away. How lucky was that guy?
Dude, how lucky. It looks so ugly on when you first see it. And the fact that he was able to walk away from that literally was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he got lucky on that one. And then, they're going to be showing that highlight clip for years.
For years. Hey, do they find them in any way like the NFL, MLB? Like if something's wrong with the setup for Major League Baseball, like the grass isn't right, or the NFL, they get fined heavily. Does that happen in motocross if the track is that bad?
Well, in this case, in Supercross, it's the same people that build the track every single week. It's not like the people in Indy specifically are responsible for that track. It's the same track crew that goes from race to race. Like I said, this was just bad timing, and I'll say, to give them even further a break, almost every one of those races on the East used to be like that years ago. They used to deal with it every week. They've gotten better at fixing it most of the time, so now it really sticks out. But I'm telling you, Atlanta, Indy, St. Louis, Toronto, Detroit, Pontiac, Michigan, they used to look like that every darn week, so it's good that they don't always look like that anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you know who was a big surprise? Alessi. He came out firing on all cylinders, didn't he?
I'm thinking now that maybe Alessi is better when he's surrounded by drama. It was like the worst week of his life, except for the previous two or three times he's had horrible drama and controversy, and he seems to ride better every time it happens.
Yes! He was crazy, man. He was like, he was a man on a mission. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think this is crazy, but the Alessis have been involved on the wrong side of it, usually, of controversy almost their entire lives. I'm talking since they were kids, as amateurs. I think that Mike and his family are so used to working under those circumstances that it actually makes them better, because they're just, this is the us against the world, everyone's hating us today. That's the type of work environment they were raised in.
He's got to ride with a chip on his shoulder. That's what he needs. Hey,
yeah, maybe.
Hey, hats off to Cole Seeley for stepping in and just killing it and on such short notice. No one saw that coming, did they?
No, not at all. I mean, literally, we didn't even know he was going to race. His decision was made, I think, on Wednesday night. He rode Tuesday and Wednesday. They said, all right, good enough. But, I mean, he was a place filler at that point.
Yeah.
Marsha was not racing, Trey Kinnard was racing. They just needed a bike in the field. To put it on the podium after only riding the darn bike for 2 days total?
That's what I'm saying. The guy was amazing. So speaking of that, for someone stepping in, Dean Wilson made his 450 debut for 2-2 Motorsports with Chad Reed. How, you know, rate him. How do you do?
It wasn't that good. I mean, he got 10th, which is okay, and he went down in the first turn, which is not good. I mean, I don't think it matters, though, because I think Dean was just super nervous, and it was his first time ever racing a 450. Cole Seeley's actually done it a couple times the last few years here and there. So I think every person involved is just like, first race, he was nervous. We weren't seeing what he's really capable of. So he's going to, whether he won the race or finished 20th, I think everyone was just going to give him a free pass for this one.
Yeah, that's what I think so. Hey, yeah. Now, we're in Daytona. You know, I'm going to step back on calling these races, but I'm going to feel a little lucky with Ryan Villopoto in Daytona.
Well, the calendar just says that you're due. I mean, it's been a long time since Villopoto's gone.
Yep.
A month and a half without winning a race. Oddly, his points lead is bigger than it's ever been at this point of the year. But one of these weekends, he's got to win, right?
He's got to go. And I think this is the weekend, Daytona. I mean, it's such hollow ground. It's a big arena for him. I know Indy was, but I think that track just gave him too many problems. I think he's going to feel good in Daytona and just do some Villopotoing.
Daytona, well said there. Daytona's cool, though, because if folks that aren't super familiar with this, basically every supercross is the same. They build a track in a baseball or a football stadium. This one is the only one that's really, truly different. This is a NASCAR track. They build the track on the little grass part of the infield. It's way different to watch and way different to ride than any other event. So it's kind of cool to have a little change up every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, look, next week, let's talk about Martin Davalos in the 250 class. I think he's having a bit of a Cinderella season, and I want to spend some time on that.
Let's do it.
All right, Jason, good luck in Daytona, and we'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait. See you, boys.
All righty. All right, coming up next on All Action Sports Radio, we'll have free skiing pioneer, legend, and creative genius Tom Walsh here on All Action Sports Radio.